You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's live broadcast of TPC. It is Saturday, the hottest Saturday, I think, in the history of the world. It has to be. Boy, it's been bad.
How many weeks have we had here in Memphis where every day out over 100?
Too many. Too many, that's for sure. I'm going to go down to hell to cool down. But it's Saturday evening, July the 23rd. I'm James Edwards. He's Keith Alexander. And welcome to tonight's live show. Have we already won half the battle? Is the battle half won already? Well, we're going to share more evidence for optimism. We're going to be building upon some themes and trends we have been talking about over the course of the last year and a half, and present to you some things to build upon that. In the third hour, Keith will tell us about his recent television appearance. It was taped. That's why you haven't seen it yet. And well, there were some twists and turns, so we'll tell you that, but we'll tell you more in the third hour. We'll get to that. And then in the second hour, Sam Bushman, the owner of the network here that syndicates us, the Liberty News Radio Network, will be with us to talk about spending a week and a half in Las Vegas. What were you doing in Vegas, Sam? We'll ask him in the second hour. And some good news, too. An old friend, Michael Perutka, has won a statewide race in Maryland for Attorney General. He won the Republican primary, rather, and will now be going up against the Democratic nominee this fall. We'll tell you why that's so significant and remind you exactly who Michael Perutka is and why you, too, should be excited about this. It's all coming up your way tonight on TPC, Keith.
Well, it's all part of the same movement. Perutka and, for example, the interview that I gave was about the Great Replacement. I think, you know, all these people that we thought could not get elected, all these topics that we thought were taboo are now the mainstream.
That's right. Well, and that's very good, Keith. That again is sort of going to be the lens or the prism from which we'll be examining these questions. And again, if you look at these things through this, and this being since Donald Trump, we've talked about this plenty of times, but since Donald Trump in 2015, you have trust in our institutions, particularly media, being completely eviscerated. But much more importantly than that, you have faith in free and fair and accurate elections being called into question now by tens of millions of people. About half the country now question whether or not our elections are even real. That is very profound, and that's what you need to happen before something will fall. We have to understand this whole system has to collapse before we can remake in our image something of it. And if you have to have it collapse first, and it will, based upon its own gravity, it's an inevitability that it will collapse. Don't go out and do anything to hasten it, but we're going to tell you why we are, I think, speeding up towards that eventual conclusion.
Again, keep in mind Napoleon's famous comment that when you see your enemy making a mistake, don't interrupt him. That's what's happening. What was happening, for example, with Perutka and with talking about the Great Replacement, everything else, Brad Griffin has been writing some great articles about this. It's, you know, all of the dynamics seem to be falling in our direction now. That's where everything is happening. And ideas that were forbidden, that, you know, no Republican candidate or elected official would touch with a vaccinated crowbar 6 years ago, they're now part of the public conversation.
Well, and again, you mentioned Brad. Here were some of the findings that he's reported on this week. These are findings from the regime media, the system media. Brad just reports on them and adds his commentary to it, and we like it, so we mention it a lot. But again, if half the battle is this thing collapsing, the other half is rebuilding something in her own image, you have to have things become unsteady first, and it is certainly getting there. So for whatever shortcomings Donald Trump might have had as a president, the fact that he in large part is the reason we are here now.
I think he was an unwitting change agent, but when he came down the stairs, and I can just hear it now. I can hear all the talking heads saying how he doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of being elected. And when he actually did get elected, I mean, these people went into an apoplexy. And that's what Trump, the candidate, was much better than Trump, the president. But nonetheless, Trump was the change agent. He's the one that got, you know, started the glacier melting and has got everything crashing down now around us.
Because, again, you mentioned the enemy's making mistakes, and they are, and they have totally overreacted to what Trump was and what he is. And as you look back now, 7 years on from him announcing his first run for the presidency, looks like he'll be announcing his third run here pretty soon, but his first run, you have to understand how far the Republican base, or the Trump voter, which is, you know, of course, that's nearly one and the same, obviously. The Republican base has traveled a very, very long distance in a very short period. And in just the span of 7 years, Keith, they have nearly caught up to where we have always been. And here's more evidence to support that claim. This is from Yahoo News. Red state Donald Trump voters are now more likely to say they'd be personally better off than worse off if their state seceded from the union. So we were talking about in the Texas GOP convention a few weeks ago, they put it into their platform that they wanted Texas to secede from the union. This is something, again, you would have never had just a few years ago. But now you have the majority of Trump voters, the majority of 60 million people saying they want their states to secede. In an even wider margin of those same respondents say that their state would be better off if it seceded from the union. I mean, that is a sea change in less than a decade that was unfathomable when we did this show 10 years ago.
See, I like the divorce analogy. Basically, the forces of the North and of liberalism are kind of like your prudish maiden aunt that says, don't say the D word. Divorce, right? Well, now the D word has come out of the closet, and people are saying that's really what needs to happen. Otherwise, either they're going to be forcing us to and remaking us in their image, or we will be forcing and remaking them in ours. And a much better solution would be for the two parts of the nation that represent these two polar opposite views split into separate countries.
So again, Keith, for the...
Now, the globalist faction hates that because they want the power and the wealth and the population of the whole nation behind their regime, and they know that they would not get that. The red state America, or the conservative part, would not be on board for that. And that's where all the real opposition to secession comes from.
Wow, are we already at the first break? How in the world did that happen? Yahoo News continues, though, by writing, it's a striking rejection of national unity that dramatizes the growing culture war between Republican and Democratic-controlled states on core issues such as guns, abortion, and democracy itself. We will continue. So much more to come, so much more information like this that we need to share with you in this first hour. It's chock full of good stuff. It's another good news show tonight. Stay tuned.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Okay, so what we were covering in the first segment was the fact that according to new articles and new polls, the majority of Republican voters are now in favor of their state seceding. Now that is, that's huge, okay? And it goes to show Keith, you mentioned Brad Griffin a moment ago, that people are radicalizing on their own schedule.
This is nothing from Trump. Trump didn't talk about secession. Heaven forbid, but see, he started the avalanche. And it really wasn't Trump so much as the reaction of the leftist establishment to Trump. You know, like we said, that a guilty man flees when no one pursues. When they got somebody that was not bought, sold, and paid for by them, then what do you know? They're up here, they're saying, oh, there's this danger and that danger and whatnot. And it's obvious that they had a lot to hide, and that they had a lot that they knew they were cramming down the throats of the American population without their consent or approval.
So we don't have to go out and do something, per se. This is happening naturally.
Sit back and watch. Get a bag of popcorn. Sit on the front porch.
It's happening naturally. What we do need to do, and what it is important, is that we continue to build institutions and media outlets that stoke the flames and stir the embers, and that we are here to provide hope and encouragement and inspiration and whatever it is that you tune in for, that we provide that. We need to have institutions ready to go when it all falls apart. And it is going to fall apart. This country is going to continue to swirl down the drain. It will not be saved. It cannot be saved. It doesn't need to be saved.
It doesn't deserve to be saved.
And either our side is going to triumph or the other side is going to triumph, and there's going to be an inevitable reckoning, which will resolve, as Brad writes, the issue for better or worse. This will not go on forever. Both sides are continuing to radicalize until a spark comes that ignites a collision. And for his part in all of this, this ongoing production, Trump is planning a 2024 revenge tour. So we know that Trump is going to run again. He hasn't officially
announced it. He doesn't want to officially announce it before the midterm elections. But believe me, that's in the cards. And what is going to happen? You know, just think about this. What has happened so far in America? You know, there are all these topics that were totally taboo that are now part of the mainstream conversation, like secession. And it's not that Trump did it. It's that Trump basically gave people the green light to talk about issues that were really on their mind. And that's where all this stuff is going. It's not like Trump is leading us. Trump is being pushed ahead by his base.
Well, and that's what Mike Enoch said in the recent appearance he made on this program, is that when people like Ron DeSantis and some of these other elected officials say things that we like or do things that we like, pat yourself on the back, because you were the one who caused that to happen. Now, Trump is planning a 2024 revenge tour, and this is another article that I'll read from. Former President Trump's top allies are preparing to radically reshape the federal government if he is reelected, purging potentially thousands of civil servants and filling career posts with loyalists to him and his America First ideology, people involved in the discussions report. The impact could go well beyond typical conservative targets such as the EPA and the IRS. Okay, well, we had a little bit of a power outage here at the studio, but now we're back up and running, so I don't know, about 3, 4, or 5 minutes of downtime. So I think what we'll do is we will completely reboot that segment and take it from the top. We'll reboot and redo the second segment. We'll just have to go as quickly as we can, And then when we get to the broadcast archives, we'll just have to excise the dead air, and the first hour will be a little bit shorter. Yeah, that's what we'll try to do. So it is live radio, of course, but welcome back to the program, and we will continue where we left off right after this.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Maruso reporting. Growing signs that price pressures are easing suggest that June's distressingly high 9.1% increase in consumer prices will probably be the peak. But even if inflation indeed comes down, economists see a slow pace of decline. Ed Hyman, who's the chair at Evercore ISI, pointed to many indicators that 9.1% might have been the top. And a 10-year-old is honored by Google.
Google is honoring Alethea Haven Ramirez, one of the students killed in the Uvalde, Texas school shooting, by spotlighting her Google Doodle. The 10-year-old wanted to be an artist and had drawn artwork to submit to win the Doodle for Google Artwork Competition. Alethea was one of the 21 people killed in the mass shooting at Robb Elementary School on May 24th in Uvalde, Texas. For the USA Radio News Los Angeles Bureau, I'm Ellie Andrews.
This is USA Radio News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
With just a few months to go until SpaceX launches its first commercial all-civilian spacewalk with the Polaris Dawn crew, they've stopped by St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in Memphis this week. Promote their other major mission, and that is raising funds to fight against childhood cancer globally. SpaceX's last fundraising effort with St. Jude netted about $250 million in donations, and according to Anna Menon, mission specialist and medical officer, this time they're hoping to go bigger.
We'll be doing a tremendous amount of research in the 5 days we're in space, as well as continuing to raise funds for St. Jude and helping to combat childhood cancer here on Earth right now.
The sheriff in Kansas's most populous county says he took it for granted that local elections ran smoothly until former President Donald Trump lost there in 2020. Now, he's assigned detectives to investigate what he claims is election fraud, even though there's been no evidence of any widespread fraud or manipulation of voting machines in 2020. This is USA Radio News.
I want to thank our production team who are battling through severe thunderstorms that knocked the entire network off the air for a couple of minutes there during that second segment. They're going to work on the archives. The first hour might be a couple of minutes shorter than the rest of the program, but that's what we have to do. So what we've covered so far tonight is this. The majority of Trump voters are now saying they want their states to secede from the union. That is huge. Trump is planning a revenge tour during which, if reelected for a third term, he will replace thousands of government employees.
He's going to clean house.
Top to bottom, which is what he should have done when he first got in there, but perhaps there's a little naivete, I don't know. You asked me, would I vote for Trump a third time? Yes, I would. Now, I know what you're saying. Fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three times, but here's the reason why I would do it. is because he's a chaos candidate. It'd be anybody that gets the left to make that many mistakes is somebody that we need in there. And look, do I have faith in Trump like I did in 15? No, I don't. But do I think that he would continue to drill these boreholes down these existing fractures and fault lines? Yes, I think we can count on him to do that.
And he would do it even without intending to do
that's
so.
That's right. It's just that's their perception.
That's
of
it. That's his instinct. The thing is, everything that he wants to do, they don't want done. And basically, he doesn't know, you know, if he makes a right turn, they expect him to make a left turn, or they want him to make a left turn. He is just chaos as far as left is concerned.
And he gave rise to this evisceration of the trust in public institutions and in very elections themselves. So we need this. We need somebody who will take a sledgehammer to these ever-widening faults.
Like Willie, like the Huey Long character, Willie Loman said, or Willie Long in All the King's Men, give me that meat axe. That's exactly the way that Trump approaches things. That's what he says in his campaign. He didn't know how to accomplish it before. Hopefully he's learned something about how to get things done in this hiatus of Biden.
We're going to go to it as quickly as possible to make up for that lost time in the last segment. So let's really try to blitz this here. Is it possible that Trump has learned a lesson after being stabbed in the back by so many people during his first term? Maybe. I don't know. Will things be different? Probably not, but it will continue to further the divide, and that's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in this whole thing collapsing. I don't want a reunification. I don't want a reconciliation. I want it to fall apart. Trump, I think, helps us do that. Again, Keith, as we are saying, the Trump voters are now more radical now than he was then. And we go back to, hey, 73% of Trump voters think that there is a great replacement. Of course, there is, but they know it and they think it. The Democrats are trying to replace white people with immigrants and people of color. We have now Trump-endorsed candidates like Blake Masters in Arizona saying black people, frankly, quote, end quote, are responsible for America's gun problems. So all of this is good, and this is what Trump can give us. This is why, and the only reason why, I would consider voting for him a third time. Now, a couple of votes this week, Keith, that we need to make mention of very quickly. The so-called Defense of Marriage Act, which is the defense of sodomite marriage. Every single House Democrat voted for sodomy, gay marriage, and interracial marriage and remained true to their brand of social liberalism. However, 157 House Republicans voted against homosexual marriage codifying homosexual marriage to protect it from what the Supreme Court may have planned. Typically, the conservative incorporated move there would have been to cuck and run in fear of reprisal from the media. But as I'm reading now from another story, 50 House Republicans joined House Democrats to pass legislation on Tuesday that would enshrine marriage equality into federal law, so-called marriage equality. Why it matters, the legislation approved 267 to 157 as part of the Democrats' response to the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade last month, and conservative Clarence Thomas is signaling rulings on marriage equality, LGBTQ rights, and contraception should also be reconsidered.
And see, back when that Obergefell decision came down, I think it was 2015, I doubt if you could have gotten five Republicans in both houses of Congress to vote against that principle. But see, what is happening now is that Trump came in and he started a change. And hopefully he's learned enough where he won't be throwing white Southern Gentiles like Jeff Sessions under the bus. But meanwhile, Rod Rosenstein, who really tried to knife him in the back not once but several times, got a pass. Hopefully he has learned something about who to trust and who not to trust.
So the Democrats voted 267-0 in favor of codifying so-called homosexual marriage. Republicans voted 157-47 against, okay? And in related news, the House also passed a bill to codify abortion into federal law a few days ago. Story reads, this is ABC News now, the House of Representatives on Friday passed two measures to restore abortion rights after the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe versus Wade. The action comes as Democrats ramp up their political messaging on abortion ahead of the midterm in November. The measure passed 219-210. No Republicans voted in favor of the bill. All right, so every single House Democrat voted for it. Every single House Republican voted against it. These are back-to-back votes on abortion access, homosexual marriage, and interracial marriage. Illustrate something important here, Keith. These things are not separate issues. Social liberals support and celebrate sodomy, gay marriage, interracial marriage, drug abuse, divorce, feminism, trans, abortion, illegal immigration, gun control, and so on. Same people in Congress vote the same way on all of these issues. They're a package deal that will rise and fall together. They rose together. They will fall together. Supreme Court ruled on interracial marriage in Loving versus Virginia in 1967. Six short years later, it ruled on abortion. It only took 5 or 6 years for social liberals who were ascendant on the Supreme Court to advance legalizing interracial marriage to abortion. It was a domino effect. Democrats understand, this again coming from Occidental dissent, this, which is why they are trying to simultaneously fortify abortion, interracial marriage, and gay marriage into federal law.
They're showing to us all that they know how weak they are in terms of actual public support for these positions that they take the position are now enshrined in our law and it just can't be messed with at all. It reminds me of that song by Buffalo Springfield, For What It's Worth, Battle Lines Being Drawn. Nobody's right when everybody's wrong. Well, this is what they're... See, they cannot even entertain the thought that there's going to be a rollback on their so-called rights revolution, which was dishonestly obtained through extrajudicial actions by the Supreme Court, making up penumbras from the Ninth Amendment, for example, to have a right for abortion or a right of privacy and things like this. A right in the First Amendment in Bates and Osteen versus Arizona Board of Professional Responsibility. They told us that tucked away in the First Amendment somewhere where no one suspected it was a right for lawyers to advertise. Well, that's really worked out, hasn't it? It didn't bring price competition among lawyers or a more informed public. It just basically let the sleazeballs loose. That's what everything that the left has done has had more negatives than positives for Americans' day-to-day lives.
The people who passionately believe that mothers should have the right to kill their own offspring are pro-choice. They're almost to a man on the issues of sodomy, gay marriage, interracial marriage, all intertwined and tied together. If you're bothered by abortion, if you're a white evangelical, you're also significantly more likely to be bothered by other things like homosexual marriage and even interracial marriage. So here is something that's interesting. We just mentioned that every single House Democrat voted for these things. They're in favor of the $40 billion in foreign aid for Ukraine, birth control, homosexual marriage, interracial marriage, gun control, abortion. They all vote together. And in light of the fact that a majority of Trump voters now believe that they would be better off if their state left the union, let's compile a little data here, shall we? It's going to be an interesting look here now at how the vote on marriage equality would have played out in different national divorce scenarios. So, for instance, if you had a restored Confederacy and then you add states like Kentucky, Missouri, and West Virginia, the final vote on marriage equality in that hypothetical nation, the restored Confederacy plus three additional border states, would have been 94 against 64. Now, keep in mind that this thing passed by about 60 votes. In a restored Confederacy, it would have been 94 against 64. In a scenario where you have the Confederacy joined by the Rust Belt states, the Interior West, the Midwest, this heartland or real America separated from the Acela Corridor and the West Coast.
The left coast.
You would have had a final vote in Congress on marriage equality this week that was 146 against and 141 for. 146 against 141 for. So it fails again. And if you just had the Acela Corridor, coastal America, and the left coast, the vote would have been 126 yay to 10 nay. Okay? So if you partition the nation, basically, if you do away with just the left coast and the Acela Corridor, everything goes our way every time. It doesn't have to just be the
vast
South.
Majority of the landmass of the United States of America is on our side in this. And we're tired of the tail wagging the dog. That's what happens so often in American politics. We have these corrupt urban centers like Chicago, the Chicago tail wagging the Illinois dog, the New York State dog being wagged by the New York City tail. This is the way it is. And, you know, what really brings it out in stark contrast is to look at a county-by-county map of red versus blue. And, I mean, the geographical landmass of America is just predominantly, overwhelmingly on our side on this, and we need to stop being ruled by people who want to remake us in their image that have no consideration whatsoever for our wishes or desires.
Stay tuned, everybody. We're going to tell you what's going on in Russia, what Russia is saying about the United States next.
It's your daily one-stop website that will keep you fully informed. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of the big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as it provides truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first and in the historic American nation. Many Americans are finally waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America and Western civilization can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
If you're listening to us in the broadcast archives after the fact, don't adjust your device. This first hour will be a little bit shorter than they always are because of a power strike.
Technical difficulties,
well,
as I said.
Severe thunderstorms knocked us off the air for a few minutes. But we're back, and we're wrapping up the first hour. Still got two great hours coming your way this evening. We are live this Saturday evening, July the 23rd. Vladimir Putin said in a recent speech with regards to America that such a detachment from reality, he's talking about the force feeding of homosexual marriage and transgenderism and all of this stuff.
Globo homo,
on here,
as they call it.
Such a detachment from reality, from the demands of society. And I think that's a key phrase, because he's right. Society is not demanding this. If anything, society pushes against it. It is just
but
forced
to no avail, because a small elite of very wealthy and influential people are running the show.
Such a detachment from reality, from the demands of society, will inevitably lead to a surge of populism and the growth of radical movements, to serious and social economic changes, and in the near future, to a change of elites. That's what Vladimir Putin says he sees coming here in America, and it's hard to argue with the anecdotal evidence and some of these polls and some of the things we've been talking about.
He's obviously been listening to Alexander Dugin, by the way. He is a advisor to Putin, and he is
so-called.
He is, you know, analyzed this thing somewhat like us, you know, some important differences. But nonetheless, Putin is more, has a greater sense of what's going on in America than Biden does, in my opinion.
Russian officials, this is interesting. They're mocking the American government's use of pronouns, and rightly so. Who wouldn't be? Who was of right mind? This story reads that Russian officials are openly mocking America's embrace of transgenderism, taunting America to, quote, keep going. The ridicule came after a photo of transgender assistant health secretary Rachel Levine and non-binary deputy assistant nuclear energy secretary Sam Brinton went viral last week. You've probably seen these pictures of these two guys dressed up in lipstick and dresses and all of that. pretending to be women, and the queer duo, I'm reading from the article here, pictured visiting the French ambassador's home to celebrate Bastille Day.
Not Bestiality Day, but Bastille Day.
A picture on Instagram with the caption, week four on the job, champagne and celebration with the French ambassador in his residence for Bastille Day. But also the amazing opportunity to connect with the only other transgender government official, Admiral Levine. Not going to lie, it felt great to commiserate with a fellow trans person.
Of course, if you're a normal American from Red State America, it was a sickening spectacle.
Brenton's Instagram has since been sent to private, but not before the photo was widely circulated. It did go viral. Russia's United Nations diplomat Dmitry Polyansky reposted the photo with this caption. Quote, keep going that way, our dear American ex-partners. I don't think we even need any long-term strategies to counter your malicious role in the world. You are doing that to yourselves, and let the whole world see who you are. Russian Foreign Affairs Communications official Maria Zakharova also reposted the photo, adding, answer this question for yourself, honestly. Are these the values that you want instilled in your children, or do we still fight for our own? Clearly, the Russians didn't realize, Keith, that the correct response to this was to exclaim, stunning, brave, and inspirational. But I digress. The story continues. It remains a mystery why President Biden chose Levine and Britain to represent America and France last week rather than with him in Saudi Arabia. Sam Brenton, the son of...
They probably would have been executed in Saudi Arabia.
Sam Brenton, the son of Baptist missionaries, describes himself as a gender-fluid LGBTQ plus activist. He is also a drag queen and has a pup fetish.
Don't even ask me what that is.
Fido
isn't safe.
It says that this is in his biography that Sam Brenton supplied to the LGBTQ plus network. In his official biography, his government bio, it reads, Sam has worn stilettos to Congress to advise legislatures about nuclear policy. So it's telling that this guy is at pains to point out not that he advised Congress on nuclear policy, but that he wore high heels while doing so.
See, the Russians are absolutely right. America's government and leaders have lost their cotton-picking minds. The pup fetish is what really bothers me. Apparently, Fido isn't even safe anymore in the...
Well, they dress as dogs. They dress as leather-wearing dogs, and they go to these parades, and they pretend to be dogs, and they get patted by.
Well, I'm expecting bestiality to be the next equality
movement.
Sure will.
Sure would. But this is the situation. The Russians. This is official Russian government officials here. They posted that the pronouns America are was and were. Now that's a succinct reply to the mocking here.
So, they just don't seem to understand or care that they're making America a laughing stock to the rest of the world, and then they presume to be the leaders of the world. I mean, people, they can't stop laughing about this. They can't, like Russia said, Russia is doing what we said Napoleon said, when you see your enemy making a mistake, don't interrupt him. They have no intention to interrupt the Biden administration. They love what they're seeing. They're seeing America dissolve like a pillar of salt right before their eyes.
It's late stage decline is what it is, Keith. And this whole liberal world order that America sits in the crown seat at the head of the table, in the throne, I guess I should say, at the head of the table, it's all going to unravel. And it will most likely at this rate, it's going to unravel over the course of the next decade. There's a mounting instability here at home, but just as big of a role, I think, will be played by what's going on in the Ukraine. In Ukraine, I mean, that whole situation's on life support, and I don't know how much longer it's going to last, but, you've seen wars like this topple governments, and I think that you could see the toppling of Western governments over this miscalculation in supporting Ukraine. You've already seen it in the UK with Boris, and you've seen it in Italy as well.
Well, basically, if we lose Ukraine, if America and NATO lose Ukraine, and that, I think, is inevitable, it's going to happen, whether it's sooner or later, it's going to happen whenever Russia really gets serious about prosecuting this war. America is going to be back on its heels rather than trying to rule the world. You know that song, Everybody Wants to Rule the World from the 80s? Well, instead of that, they're going to be lucky to hold on to the Western Hemisphere as their sphere of influence. This is a serious miscalculation on the part of the Biden administration, and they're going to be whipped like a redheaded stepchild at the family reunion.
Well, you know, I think now, as this thing plays out a little bit, November with Russia, as the bombardment, they let the fatigue set in over months and months and months of unparalleled support to the corrupt Ukrainian government. And they know that if the Republicans take back the House and or the Senate in the midterms, that the support that the United States is offering to this war is going to be over. Yeah. So that's a pretty smart thing. Just sit there and continue a constant drumbeat, continue to take little by little. And then if this whole thing goes sideways for the Democrats in November, Russia, that thing's over.
Yeah, and furthermore, you know, this is a proxy war. America is getting to see what their weapon systems can do against a first world army for a change, rather than a bunch of, nomad Bedouin guerrillas and whatnot. On the other hand, the Russians are getting to test out their weapon systems against ours, and they find out what they have that works, what they have that doesn't work. And they've already discovered something they haven't worked, and they're getting reinforcements now. They're getting drones from Iran. Apparently, our drone technology is advanced over theirs, so they're going about correcting that. See, we're basically letting the Russians find out everything in conventional weaponry that they either have an advantage of, or they're at the same stage as us, or they are below us and they need to up their game.
I want to circle back to one thing. So the overall theme of this hour has been reasons for optimism, and additional reasons for optimism are the fact that red state voters now believe, the majority believe, that their states would be better off if they seceded, and that they would be better off if their state seceded. We're talking also about these fault lines that exist, how the Republicans are now voting against things that they wouldn't have voted against in the past. And talking about how all this was a package deal, how one radical egalitarian movement moved seamlessly one after another into the next.
Like dominoes falling.
That's right. And how we went from Loving versus Virginia, and in 6 years you had the Roe versus Wade. Because they will always come back for more, and that's why we have to take back everything. Yes, it's fanciful to think that interracial marriage is going to be overturned by the Supreme Court. Clarence Thomas is married to a white woman, after all. He's not going to undo his own marriage, but we will take what we can get, and we will always take what we can get, and then come back for more. That's what they've always done. When Rosa Parks, I got to say this. This started with Rosa Parks. Now, when she was playing her role in that communist production, the communists...
Called the Montgomery bus boycott.
Two different kinds of communists. You had your low-level street functionary black communists during that whole era, and then you had the Jewish communists that were really running the show. And for Rosa Parks's role in that production, and we know it was just all a staged, orchestrated event, her arrest, and we know that. We talked to the man who booked her.
He told us what it was. It was Highlander Folk School. That's where they told them how to dress, how to behave.
This is it. This is the point, though. Not to relitigate that. The point is, Rosa Parks didn't come off the bus saying she wanted reparations, she wanted voting rights, she wanted
gay marriage.
She wanted gay marriage and abortion, and she wanted the right to marry interracially. She didn't come off the bus saying all that. And she would have been laughed right off.
She wanted to be transgendered.
She didn't say any of that. She came off the bus, and she said, I just want to be able to sit down. All right? That's where it started. And from that, it went to boom and boom and boom. And so it was all bad. This is what you always say, Keith. You can't be one of these Republicans that say, well, this egalitarian movement was bad, but the civil rights movement was really good. No, it was all bad, and it's all got
to
go.
Well, see, that's what it was with Brown versus Board of Education. They said, we don't want to force people to integrate. We just think it's terrible that a little girl that lives next to a white school who happens to be black can't attend there. But by 1971, 20 years or so later, it had gone full circle. Now you were busing and forcing the races to integrate. These people, they're like the devil. They never sleep, and they never get discouraged.
We're going to tell you why you should be excited about Michael Peruka's statewide primary win for the Attorney General in Maryland, and what Sam Bushman was up to in Las Vegas last week. A very interesting hour coming up, so stay tuned, stick around, and we'll tell you the story.